we hear a lot about changes that are going on, and one of the places that things change, and they constantly change, and sometimes changes are good, sometimes changes are inevitable, sometimes changes just happen because of circumstances, but a place you can always expect that there will be some change coming out of is in our state legislature. And depending on I am not making any political statements here. You might like the changes, you might not like the changes. That's your personal opinion. We all have those. But when it comes to the affairs of the blind, many of the changes that have come out of the state legislature in the last several years have been positive. We talked about the creation of the executive board, and our next speaker, since it passed unanimously, I know voted for it. It was the creation of our executive board. And she has also been quite supportive of other issues, but I'm not going to steal her thunder. She's from this district. She's a member of the New York State Assembly. And let me give you, for whatever she chooses to say, Assemblywoman Francine Del Monte.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you for that very warm welcome to everybody. Very appropriate. And Mr. Springer, welcome to New York State and Niagara Falls, New York in particular. I'm glad this is your first stop in New York. It's the second most visited destination outside the city, New York City, so you're in a good place. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for inviting me to address your convention this weekend. I hope everyone is enjoying at least a good visit. You know, today's a little bit chillier than what we expected. But it's going to get better, I think, as the day gets longer, so let's hope that that would be the case. You know, I also want to thank all of you for hosting your convention in Niagara Falls this weekend. I have a couple of wonderful constituents in this room today, and I'm going to call them out by name because I honestly can tell you I love them both. One is Laura Herman. The other one... and Vinny Tagliarino. Now, is that a good American name, right? It's a good Italian-American name, huh? You know, if Laura and Vinny had anything to do with bringing this convention here, I got to say good job to you both and everybody here that's from the Niagara Falls or Niagara County area. Thank you for advocating on behalf of your convention to host it here today, and especially for the energy and the advocacy that not only did Vinny and Laura bring to this membership, but in concert with all that you do to bring to light to the legislature, to people like myself, the issues that are so important to all of you. Now, is it possible that anybody here today doesn't know that Tuesday, November 4th is Election Day? Is it possible?
You ought to put a commercial on TV, don't you mind
me? I know. Apparently, there's not enough commercials. Apparently, I haven't seen enough that you can't possibly remember that that's what's going to be happening on Tuesday. Now, for my constituents in this room, I'm on Tuesday's ballot. That's just a little sale for me, so if you can remember me, I'd certainly appreciate it. But, oh, God bless you. See? I got some advanced work here.
We'll do it again.
Well, if we could. You know, I went on the National Federation of the Blind website, and I saw an item announcing that it will be offering a toll-free hotline to help blind voters who are experiencing problems voting independently and privately as required by the Help America Vote Act. New York State, as you probably have noticed, has been somewhat slow in adopting new voting machines required by HAVA, but you probably noticed if you voted in the primary or if you had an opportunity to vote in the primary that there was a new machine that was set aside specifically for the disabled. And, you know, I failed to call our local Board of Elections to find out how much use that machine got, but at least it was a good example for people who did vote in the primary to see what will be forthcoming next year, or at least I hope next year. Honestly, I'm not all that confident that we'll even have new machines in place by next year, but we're working towards that goal. You know, making certain that our disabled voters, that our state's disabled voters have access to machines that would enable them to make voting easier was one of the reasons New York was so late in getting on board with HAVA. And that was actually a big concern of the state assembly. We were the last state to join in federally to receive the federal dollars so that we could install new voting machines in the state. And one of the issues that the assembly kept raising was the fact that we wanted to make sure it was as accessible and user-friendly to our disabled population as possible. So we look to you. You're going to have to really tell us. We need the feedback that if the machine that's in place right now is of the quality and the accessibility that your population and others think is user-friendly, then you have to let us know. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of things from people after the November 4th election. Now, I know that there are two bills in particular, and Carl, that was very kind of you. You didn't want to steal my thunder here, but I know these are two bills in particular that the National Federation of the Blind is interested in seeing made law in New York. Now, I am a member of the Assembly Transportation Committee, and one of these bills, the first one I'd like to talk about, is Assembly Bill 10248. I'm a co-sponsor of the legislation. It's prime sponsored by Assemblywoman Joan Millman, who's out of Brooklyn, and it would enact the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2008. Well, now it's going to have to be the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2009 going into next year. But as most of you probably know, if not all of you, it would require the Department of Motor Vehicles and the Department of Environmental Conservation to draft regulations establishing a statewide minimum sound standard for hybrids and other inaudible motor vehicles. Now, you know, hybrids are very good in terms of, you know, trying to create a less carbon-based society and, you know, being a lot more energy efficient, and especially with the high price of fuel. But they're really quiet. They have really quiet motors. And that can pose a danger not only to blind, but even to sighted individuals. You know, try crossing an intersection and not hear a car coming. You know, even if someone is jogging, bicycling, or a little slow in walking, you know, through an intersection, the result can be very deadly for people. So Joan put together this legislation, which I think is something that we need to get passed not only in the House and in the Senate, but signed into law, especially by our governor, David Patterson, who obviously, you all know, is also blind. I gotta believe that if this bill was to cross his desk, he would sign it into law. Now, I'm hoping, and Carl and I just spoke briefly before I came up here, because he acknowledged that I sit on the Transportation Committee, and he said, we have to get your chairman to get this bill through committee, and he was looking to me to be an advocate as a member of the committee to make that happen next year. And, Carl, I make that promise to you. And I make that promise to all of you. Because, you know, I don't know what that impediment is. And I like David Gant. I want you to know, David Gant, who's the chairman of the committee, is from the city of Rochester, represents a good portion of Rochester. He can be a little bit of a curmudgeon. But I love David. I got to tell you, I love him. I really do. And you know what? With a lot of gentle prodding, maybe sometimes you got to get a little tougher, I think, you know, he'll come around with this legislation and we'll get it passed. So, you know, I don't know if the car manufacturers are making this an issue. I haven't really heard what the opposition is in terms of installing some type of audible device that would make these cars, you know, a little bit more vocal, you know, for Larry, audible. You know, I don't know what the impediment is or why anybody would really be opposed to this legislation, but I will promise you to find out, and I also will promise you that we will move forward in trying to get this through the committee at an appropriate speed so that we can see it made law next year. You know, I actually have a separate bill that's involving electric cars and having electric cars put on state roads up to 45-mile-per-hour speed limits. And as we were drafting the bill and having it vetted and reviewed by Assembly staff, it was returned to us because the Assembly staff that we work with said, listen, we already have this legislation out there by Assemblywoman Millman that affects hybrid cars. You're talking about electric cars. Electric cars are also fairly quiet. So if you're going to move forward on this particular legislation, we want you to include a provision that makes reference to some type of sound emittance that should be available on these types of cars as much as we're talking about the hybrids and other types of cars. So we are making that provision. We are making that allowance, and you're going to see that that particular bill will also include that type of provision. So now another bill of special importance to your federation involves the Accessible Electronic Information Act, and that's a bill that, you know, when Laura and Vinny and others come and visit me every year, they've been talking about, and that's chief sponsored by my colleague, Assemblyman Gary Pretlow, who's from the Mount Vernon area, downstate New York. I am also a co-sponsor of that bill, and I understand how important it is for, you know, the blind population to be able to have access to information on as quick a basis as all of us receive information. You know, technology is changing at such a rapid rate. We can all have, you know, access to it, but it costs. And this bill just calls, as most of you know, for a nominal surcharge on phone bills. that would fund the high-speed technology and the computers that are necessary in order to disseminate the information to blind and disabled people. You know, we have all sorts of taxes. We have all sorts of fees. You know, New York is often noted for that. But there are certain things that I think we have to respect that people want to have access to as quickly as anyone else. And what that surcharge would eventually be is something that would be worked out between the National Federation of the Blind. I think in the legislation speaks to the director in concert with the Public Service Commission in New York to determine what that nominal surcharge would be. I'm hoping that next year, and we're in difficult times, people. I don't want to underestimate just how difficult the state's financial situation is. But I'm hoping that perhaps we can have a little bit more of an intense discussion about this issue next year. And if something can be worked out and we can forge some type of an agreement, that might be available to you. I won't make so much of a promise on because, honestly, I just know how tough things are going to be for all of us. But, you know, I know the Accessible Electronic Information Act is a good first step to really addressing the needs of blind and disabled citizens who, as I said, deserve access to information that's otherwise available in print. You know, I referenced just briefly how difficult the state's fiscal constraints are going to be and its challenges. You've seen that Governor Patterson was recently in Washington calling on the federal government to help the states, especially with infrastructure needs, and to provide additional resources so that the state can make the changes and the improvements to its infrastructure. But beyond that, one of the things that we deserve, and I mean no disrespect to anybody who may be from the state of Mississippi. I use it only as an example. But when the state of Mississippi gets a better reimbursement on its Medicaid rates than New York State, well, we've got a problem. And that's something that the federal government can change. That's something the federal government can implement. And we know that right now they're providing a bailout or a rescue of $700 billion to, you know, bad decisions made by investment firms that were largely driven from, you know, and this is a personal observation, and you can agree with me or not, but I think largely driven by greed for greater profits. And we're doing a bailout for the major car manufacturers in this country. I think we have to start recognizing that the states and the states that filter down to the localities also need some substantial help. And the biggest area that they can help us in is in health care. And a subset of that is in Medicaid and in Medicare, but primarily in reimbursing the state for its Medicaid costs. We have high Medicaid costs in New York State. We do it. We have them because we provide a lot of services under Medicaid. But the fact of the matter is we have the population and we have the services and we have the programs, and we certainly should be treated in a much more fair and equitable manner than some other states that don't provide as many services and certainly don't have the same type of population needs. And that's my little pontification. I hope I didn't mean to go off on track but it's very important. And I would certainly hope that as a group you would advocate to your federal leaders for the same type of return on the dollar that New York deserves to take care of its population that's disabled and or in need of Medicaid services. Thank you. You know, I want you to know that I'm hoping as we move forward in this budget process, you probably all know that the governor has called us back for November 18 to make additional cuts. They're going to be between $1.2 billion and $2 billion. They're substantial. You know, it's my hope that our state's most vulnerable citizens would be spared or cut minimally. And I don't know if that's going to be actually true. I think there's going to be cuts throughout the whole state budget in terms of all the agencies and all the departments. But I think our most vulnerable citizens should be those that are least cut or the last cut. And we'll see how that works out when we return on November 18th. But the next month, in December, the governor is calling us back early, purposely, to unveil his budget a month earlier than he normally has to, which usually comes out in the middle of January, so that we could have some extra time to deal with the difficult circumstances that have come across the state. So we're going to need to hear from all of you, and I know there's not going to be any lack of advocacy from all the groups and from all the organizations and from all those people who in some way benefit from a program or service that's offered by New York. You know, we ask that you understand the situation that we're in. I just hope that as we move forward, we'll make very judicious cuts, but we'll make appropriate cuts and that, again, our most vulnerable citizens are those that are cut the least and hopefully the very last. I admire the fortitude and courage that is really shown by so many in this disabled community, and I thank you for all the good work that you do on behalf of so many. Enjoy your convention. I hope you'll come back. Vinny tells me that you have been here before, so I hope that this won't be the last time that you're here, but that you'll come back again and enjoy all that we have here to offer in Niagara Falls and Niagara County. I'll make a little bit of a pitch for our Niagara Wine Trail. I'm not advocating drinking, but we are...
Just spending.
Well, I just want you to know we do produce some very, very nice wines, reds, whites, blushes. We have a growing wine trail here in New York, and I don't know if you have any road trips planned, but maybe on your next visit. If you'd like to visit our wine trail, I certainly would encourage you to it. I think you'd find it not only fascinating, but enjoyable. So, listen, you're a wonderful group of people, and I really appreciate that you're all here today, and I look forward to working with you, especially in next year's session. And I understand there was one hand raised. Would you like to ask a question?
Who's shaking? Angie, quickly. Neville, one question from you, then I have one, and then we have to move on.
Okay.
Angie, Neville, and me.
I hope you forgive my political procedure ignorance.
Nope.
But going to the political law, the pedestrian law that we're trying to pass.
Yes.
Okay. There's many laws already on the books for pedestrians. I've gone to my town meetings and asked the police officers of our town, how do we go about enforcing safety for pedestrians against the motorists? The right on red, the talking on cell phones, the laws already exist.
Yep.
The answer I was given was, we can't enforce all the laws on the books, Mrs. Robinson. So how do we make the laws that are there
more I didn't know the law was a pick-and-choose type of option.
For us pedestrians.
You know, you raise a good question, Angie, because the law is not meant to pick and choose whatever you might fancy your favor there. It's not the process. I think the law enforcement community especially is going to have to become a little bit more attuned, because recognizing that this change in manufacturing and that more people are buying these types of cars, whether they're electric cars or hybrid cars, that they are not, you know, necessarily as safe in terms of pedestrians understanding what might be crossing their path, because they're not going to be able to hear them. They're going to have to become a little bit more acute and acknowledging that there are laws that protect pedestrians beyond what we normally think of jaywalking and crossing against traffic or whatever else. I think it's an education process as much as it is anything else. But you raise a good point, and it's something that, you know, I won't hesitate to have a conversation with our local law enforcement over, because, you know, they have to be conscious that people need to be protected while they're walking across the street, and especially those that may have a little bit of a disability or may not have the vision capacity to cross it safely and not be confronted by something that can literally bowl them over. Neville, I hear what you're saying, Angie. I don't have the best answer to you, but I understand what you're saying.
Neville, quickly.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm from New York City, and I want to thank the Councilwoman for acting on our behalf. However, one quick thing. She mentioned the word cut several times in her discussion. And I would argue that the real problem here that the council faces is one of attitudes. You know, it seems like we have black attitudes towards the blind. The problem is attitudes towards who the majority of the people in the society is. And we need the councilwoman to stop saying cut, and to tell our colleagues to stop saying cut and start saying, gentlemen, let's find the revenues that we need. And we can find them because they exist. Okay?
Yeah.
So let's tax the people who can pay and get on with the job. Thank you.
Thank you, Neville. A couple of your colleagues up here said, what do you mean you're raising taxes? And, you know, Neville, there's a constant source of consternation about, you know, taxes and raising revenues. I mentioned to you earlier in my comments that New York State has a host of taxes and fees and revenue raisers. We try to couch it in different words. We like to say a fee instead of a tax. We like to say a revenue raiser instead of a tax. And, you know, it's a delicate balance because, you know, raising taxes isn't a palatable notion to a lot of people. It's not an acceptable thing to a lot of the business community. But that's why I also couched my words in saying that those who need state services the most should be those that are least impacted. I'm not saying that there won't be some revenue raisers in this budget that's proposed. I can't predict what the governor is going to present to us. We will know when we return on November 18th what it is that he's laid out for the action by the legislature. I think just for your own edification, understand this process. You know, we'll probably in the assembly be called back in on Monday the 17th so that the speaker can review with us what the governor is proposing for action on the 18th. I can't stand here and really tell you right now what those proposed cuts are going to be. No more than I can tell you that the speaker and the leadership and the membership of the Assembly Democratic Conference, which is in the majority in the assembly, will actually accept. This will be subject to a lot of negotiation. I can tell you that from the assembly's position, I think we've really shown a pronounced strength and a record in really protecting our most vulnerable citizens. And if that's of any solace to you, I hope you can go back and think that or believe that we'll do our best not to impact people who need services the most, but I can't make that promise to you.
Thank you, ma'am. I got one question
for
you. If I were to clarify something you said earlier, we were talking about your support of the Accessible Electronic Information Act, and you said it has a surcharge in there. Yeah. I think you might have been looking at an old copy of that bill. There is an amended portion of that bill that will not require any revenue enhancement, surcharge fee, or any of those other phony. Okay, and this bill will only allow the right of this service to tap existing funds where there exists a surplus, as is done in other states, through an already existing system that will not be raised or changed in any way. But there are surpluses in those funds, and it will allow this service to also access those funds. And if that be the case and there not be any raises, could you then support the bill?
I'm a sponsor of it. I support the bill. I support it with a surcharge or not. But Carl just gave me some good information. It's a mea culpa on my part. I make the apologies. And I'm glad to hear that because that makes it a much easier sell in a difficult year.
Yay.
It makes a much difference. So thank you. Thank you for correcting me. And absolutely, Carl.
Terrific.
We'll make a very strong effort to see it happen next year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. And thank you, all of you.
Thank you, Assemblywoman. It's good to have a friend in the legislature. Thank you, ma'am.